And good afternoon. This is Kaz Stutisdeividas, and you're listening to Independent Lithuanian Radio right here on KTYM 1460 on your AM dial. And, of course, live streaming audio over the Internet at KTYM.com. Thanks again for listening to Independent Lithuanian Radio this afternoon. And that was a little ištrauka, a little excerpt of an old song about coming home from a karčiama, sort of a tavern, you know, sort of a tavern where the homemade brew, you know, the brew your own in the backwoods stuff was distributed and sold. And perhaps other favors were melded out there in some of the rooms in the karčiama. As a matter of fact, a little town in Lithuania on the way from Panevėžys to Šiauliai, or vice versa, from Šiauliai to Panevėžys. And it's called karčiamos, which is like the plural of taverns, like tavern village. I guess perhaps that between these two towns there were a lot of evening places to hang out and have a few drinks. And no doubt, many, many folks got in a lot of trouble stumbling home later that night or the next morning. Anyway, we'd like to keep you up to date on the weather in Vilnius, which is the capital of Lithuania. And if you don't know that yet, you haven't been listening to this radio show. Isn't it psychotic weather around here, huh? What, 100 degrees yesterday out in the valleys? 90-plus downtown, 90s up in Camarillo, crazy fires. I get emails from my friends in Lithuania saying, what's going on? I thought this stuff happened every 3 or 4 years in the fall. And I reminded them that the Santa Anas can come anytime, though they are more prevalent in the fall. And the fires are also every year an event, although some years, of course, are much worse and record-setting years as opposed to others. But anyway, yeah, the whole world's looking at Southern California going, wow, it's May, and it's 100 degrees, and the state's on fire. Pretty amazing. Well, if it's any consolation to you, I think it's going to rain tomorrow. It's about 10 degrees cooler already today, and tomorrow it's going to rain. So, you know, I'm not going to try to figure this out. This has got to be the wackiest weather ever. Anyway, back to Lithuania. It's going to be a nice, pleasant 66 degrees tomorrow in the capital. And it's going to be windy, so it's going to be a nice, blustery day. You know, I love that kind of weather in the capital. You know, you can see for miles. It's a good day to go up to Gediminu Hill, to the castle, and look out over everything. And then Monday, again, sunny and 68 degrees. Tuesday, 68 degrees. At night, by the way, the lows are right around 50, so it's really pleasant weather. By Wednesday and Thursday, you're going to be up into the mid-70s. Absolutely gorgeous. Nights will start to cool off a little bit, though, drop to 44, 43, and by the weekend, the daytime temps will be back down to about 60 degrees in the capital city. This is Mother's Day. Not here. Don't get all in a ruckus, you know. It's Mother's Day in Lithuania. Okay, Lithuania celebrates Sunday, the first Sunday of the month, as Mother's Day. Now, of course, that's a great day to let your mother know how much you love her. And shame on you for not letting her know that every day. But anyway, mother's unconditional love, support, and sense of sacrifice make her a being of reverence in Lithuanian culture. It is a day to celebrate motherhoods and thank Mama for all the small things she has done for you. However, did you know that Mother's Day celebration has been celebrated through the ages? It's believed that ancient Greeks celebrated Mother's Day by honoring Rhea, mother of the gods, by offering honey cakes, flour, and drinks. Mother's Day is the day to acknowledge mother's unconditional love, support, and efforts in raising her children. This day, of course, is celebrated around the globe. But I think Lithuanians are first. Anyway, similar celebrations vary from country to country, and traditions vary a bit. Now, Lithuania, again, is on the first Sunday of the month. Flowers are abundant. If you're in Lithuania on Mother's Day, you see droves of young people, children, carrying flowers down the street. And what they're doing is they're taking flowers to their mothers, their grandmothers, their godmothers, every mother you can think of, after, of course, honoring their own mom. There's also a special cake, okay? There's a special cake made for Mother's Day that's sort of shaped like a bouquet of flowers. And, of course, the end of the day is celebrated with a family dinner. Hopefully, maybe perhaps in the modern ages of today, mom didn't have to cook it all in Lithuania. Besides Mother's Day tomorrow's locally, we have a special event, and that is tomorrow at noon at St. Casimir's Parish Hall will be the annual Radio Club, Radio Club luncheon. And why is this special? Well, first of all, for $5, you can become a member. It's Lithuanian Melodies. They produce the program immediately following this program, okay? So if you stay on the air when we sign off, okay, you'll hear the KTYM announcement, and then we'll start Lithuanian Melodies, okay? And it's, like I say, it's in Lithuanian, but those folks who put that on, all right, I'm on their board. However, our shows are not affiliated, but I'm on their board of directors, and they, again, are having their annual luncheon. And, again, for $5 you sign up, and you get to eat. So you just can't lose, because you're going to get lunch for $5. You can't eat at McDonald's for $5, okay? And it's good food, too, all right? Traditional homemade Lithuanian-style food tomorrow at noon at St. Casimir's. So come and support. Cough up the $5, become a member, and support them. You know, they've been broadcasting since the 1950s. And between their ups and their downs, they wind up staying on the air and getting a show on every week. I used to do a lot of help on production over the last couple of years. That has moved to others. Thank goodness. I appreciate them starting to handle things. And there's new voices, okay? There's new voices on the air. So you have new broadcasters with new ideas, and they rotate. Instead of hearing me every week and getting bored to death of my voice, every week you hear a different broadcaster, okay, on a rotating basis. So about, you know, 1 week a month, these people put on a program. And again, everyone has their own sense of flavor and opinion and news. And that's why it's interesting. Of course, you need to understand Lithuanian to enjoy the program. But I urge you, if you haven't listened for a while, you're missing something, because things have changed. So tune in to Lithuanian Melodies immediately following this program, and come support the Lithuanian Radio Club, who, again, has been around for many, many years. And should you feel the inclination, you can write them a bigger check than the $5, because you should feel guilty for the lunch you're going to get for $5. Okay? And finally, I will be paying a visit too. So if you see me, be sure to come by and say hello. And after you say hello, ask me about the other Dream Team video that I'll have with me in my car. Okay? Available now. They've just come in. You know, they actually sold out ever since Modest was honored at the Baltic American Freedom League's banquet, and we had a congressman who represents the St. Casimir's area and Glendale show up and speak at this event, Congressman Schiff. It's been a sellout. You know, we've sold out, so we actually had to order more of the other Dream Team DVDs for our store and to distribute, because everybody's out of them, so you couldn't even get them for about a week till now. Anyway, I've got a bunch, and I'm going to bring them with me. And the reason that I'm bringing them is I want you all to buy two or three copies, okay? Because this isn't just about you having a basketball movie, okay? First of all, it's not a basketball movie. You should be ashamed of yourself if you haven't watched it yet, because that's what you think it is, okay? It's a movie about history, and it's a movie about how sports united these young men and said, we need to have an Olympic team to represent our newly freed country, because we used to be forced to play for the Soviet team, who used to beat the United States. I mean, what a different time it was. Anyway, most of the starters on the Soviet team, which beat the U.S. just a couple of years before, just a few years before, were Lithuanians. And now they form their own team, and they beat the Russians. Fantastic. And, of course, they get also to play the United States, and they win a bronze medal. So here, I told you all about the film, but the whole there's all these outtakes about the tanks and the massacre at the Vilnius radio tower and the human chain from Vilnius to Tallinn and the whole movement from freedom to singing revolution. You got to see this film. And what you the thing about it is you don't need to know anything about basketball or history, for that matter, to enjoy it. That's why it is such a great gift. That's why I want you to get an extra one or two, because your neighbor who knows you have a funny last name, or a coworker who knows that you're Lithuanian, but it sort of goes in one ear, out the other, you know, those people who are kind and polite to you and they'll ask you something now and then about Lithuania, they're genuinely interested, but, you know, you sometimes get a little tired of explaining where it is or how to spell it. They need a copy of this. You need to give it to them. You need to have it, and when their birthday or anniversary, or for that matter, the 4th of July, or another a quintessential American holiday comes along, not to mention Christmas, boom, you got a gift. The other dream team. You can give it to them, and they'll watch it, because it's something people do. They get some popcorn, and they sit back, grab a beer or a Coke, as may be appropriate, and they'll watch this film. And they'll learn more about recent Lithuanian history, okay, and the struggle for independence, and understand you and your kids more than they ever did before from what you've told them personally, okay? That's why you need to have it. For $20 plus tax, it is a great propaganda tool to give out to people. So anyway, I'll have a bunch of copies with me, and please come by and get one or two, and we'll be happy to sell it to you, because it's a great cause and a great gift to have. Furthermore, I'll end with this. It's available at our store, okay, that I'm involved in, Eurodelimart Lituanica. Eurodelimart Lituanica is at the corner of Santa Monica Boulevard and Yale Streets in Santa Monica. That's 2838 Santa Monica Boulevard. That's 28 blocks from the beach. We're open 7 days, though we're shorter hours on Sunday, so be sure to get there by 4 o'clock. But, you know, take the family to the beach. You know, go to the pier and then stop by the store. Get some delicious Lithuanian food products. Pick up a copy of the DVD, shirts. You know, we have slippers. We have all kinds of other Lithuanian paraphernalia, you know, stickers for your car. And, of course, delicious Lithuanian rye bread and dadu ice cream. Okay? You can't live without that stuff once you've tasted it. You know, delicious dadu ice cream. And isn't this the weather for it? So anyway, visit us at 2838 Santa Monica Boulevard. That's 28 blocks from the beach in Santa Monica. Eurodelimart Lituanica. As a matter of fact, I should be around the store on Sunday afternoon after the banquet, after the luncheon for the radio club. So maybe I'll see you then. Anyway, we'll be right back. You know, our regular listeners remember me complaining about my back and how it went out, and my life had changed. I couldn't do anything, you know, and I'm so happy to announce that after several epidural treatments, I'm so much better. But the point is, besides saying thank you again for your kind wishes, I have been so behind on the news, and I'm catching up with stuff, and I found this story April, a couple weeks ago, you know. I'm just catching up now to stuff to almost get current. Nanosatellite. Okay, nanosatellite Lituanica Sat-1 will be Lithuania's first foray into space. I thought it was a joke. I thought it was an April full story. It will be a unique thing, the first Lithuanian satellite, but only the beginning of our foray into space. The Lithuanica Sat 1 means there will have to be a Lithuanica Sat 2, says Laurinas Mačiulis, the technical leader of the mission. Authors of Lithuanica Sat 1 assure us they are not trying to catch up with their colleagues from Latvia or Estonia, who are also launching satellites. Sure, there's a lot of competition, he says, but these are not Star Wars. We simply started the project a little late, said one of the mission leaders, Vytenis Buzas. It's more of a space challenge for our country. The satellite will be launched from the International Space Station, known as the ISS, and it requires particular precision. Brusas and Mačiulis look forward to next fall when they take their satellite to the United States before carrying out final tests at NASA and observing its launch. At the moment, 22 organizations and over 30 people are involved in the project. Creators of the satellite, the project is at its midpoint. The designing work has been completed, but the most crucial phase is ahead, building the actual satellite. The project must meet exceptionally high standards, so there's no room for error. There are special component parts of the satellite that are manufactured in at least three copies. The final design will be in three versions. All three will be subject to elaborate testing to check mechanics, tolerance, vibration, extreme temperatures. True, even though it is a Lithuanian satellite, some components will be made elsewhere. We bought certain components, but the overall design, the concept of how to put all the elements together, that is all made in Lithuania. We cannot use 100% Lithuanian-made parts, however. There's too much at risk. The most important elements have already been tested in space. That is the main radio connection system and power supply. Let's say two chips out of six. The other four are Lithuanian. Developed, designed, and produced in Lithuania. Anyway, the article goes on to explain, you know, all the work they've done and so on and so forth, and we'll try to keep you abreast on it. But, you know, final paragraph is, what's it look like, okay? Remember, it's a nano satellite. It's going to be put on a launch from NASA and from the space station and launched, okay? It will look like a 10-centimeter cube, okay? It's little cube-shaped box with a weight, okay, not exceeding about 1.5 kilograms. So what's that? 2.2 pounds. What, about 3.5 pounds? 3 pounds? All right. The body is made from extra firm aluminum alloys. 4 radio antennas and 1 GPS antenna will be attached to the body. It'll be comprised of a flight computer, an Arduino board, an FM voice retransmitter, energy supply subsystem, a radio transmitter receiver, and a motherboard. Bottom line is, in a couple of months, it will evaporate, dissolve in the atmosphere, and there will be no space dirt left over from the first Lithuanian nano satellite. So, we'll tell you more as it happens. Now, just there before the break, I was, ranting and pitching about the Lithuanian DVD by Modest Mutkevičius, The Other Dream Team, and why you need to have it, okay? To have it, to give it away to people who don't know that much about Lithuania, because it's a great propaganda tool. And under that whole way of thinking about this, okay, because more and more is coming out in Lithuania, I want to share this next piece with you. It's called Lithuania Needs to Spread Information West. If I received a penny for every time I overheard a Lithuanian complaining that nobody knows of or cares about his or her motherland, to use the old cliche, most probably I'd be a millionaire by now. Why is this? Is it because Lithuania is a remote, tiny, post-Soviet country located in the cultural, historical, and economic backwater of Europe? Well, maybe. However, such an assessment would definitely cloud the big picture. My firm belief is that Lithuania, after enjoying well over 2 decades of independence, still communicates and disseminates information eastwards rather than westwards. Information about Lithuania is, to be sure, still easier to attain in Russian and perhaps Polish than in the lingua franca of Europe, English. If to grossly simplify the matter, the technology of information could, to some extent, be viewed through the same prism as basic economics. That is, if there is no supply, well, then there can't be any demand. To answer the question why relatively few people appear to be interested in the affairs of and ongoings in Lithuania, it seems to have less to do with Lithuania's remote geographic location and sociocultural stature and more to do with the fact that little information reaches a broader international audience as the language barrier, which fairly naturally impedes people living outside the post-communist space from taking part in the flow of information. Get that? Believe me, there is no lack of interest in Lithuanian affairs in the outside world. This is why I am convinced, and I realize that the statement may sound over-optimistic and grossly exaggerated, that the Lithuanian Tribune, this is a paper that publishes everything in Lithuania daily on the internet in Lithuania, the Lithuanian Tribune fills an important social role, not only as a politically neutral source of info, but also as a mediator between various cultural and linguistic communities who share a common interest. As such, the Tribune could and should act as an arena where Lithuanians and foreigners can meet and discuss matters of common concern, and as a catalyst for ideas and opinion-making projects. Equally important is that Lithuanian Tribune is an offspring of the revolution in communications and technology we have witnessed during the last decade, and as such, a democratic forum where all ideas, opinions, etc. are represented and welcome. To this end, whether you happen to be of Lithuanian or foreign origin or descent, please share your views and opinions. It is, after all, through that practice that we can transgress linguistic and cultural barriers in the wider context, contribute to the enforcement and amelioration of democratic institutions, may it be in Lithuania or anywhere else in the world. The author has lived for 2 years in Lithuania, where he found his true love, the kibinas, which is sort of a, well, sort of not really Lithuanian fast food kind of thing. But anyway, the kibinas, he loves the kibinas. Anyway, his name is Fredrik Rydström, and I agree with him 100%. And he comes back and talks about Lithuanian Tribune. Google it, Lithuania Tribune, okay? Put Lithuanian Tribune, it doesn't matter. Lithuania Tribune, okay? And you will get a wealth of information, articles, opinion pieces about Lithuania and Lithuania in the world and news from Lithuania and things just to do with, you know, the world as it is today, computers, tweeting, things like that, you know, and the cultural impact of these things in Lithuania and elsewhere. Again, Lithuania Tribune. But the bottom line is, yeah, it's up to us to tell everybody about Lithuania. And how do you do it? You do it in English. And again, you know, I don't really want to be a pest with this, but, you know, another way to do it is to give them a video that's in English. How about that? Okay? Anyway, on with a couple of more stories here before we run out of time. Actually, one story that I want to share with you, okay? And this is by Canadian economist Arthur Defer. Arthur Defer is a Canadian economist. He has a business in Lithuania, and he sees the country dying before his eyes. And it has him concerned. And he knows what he's talking about. Canadian economist Arthur Defer has a business in Lithuania, offers the experience of Manitoba province in his native Canada as an example to follow unless Lithuania adopts a sensible immigration policy. It is headed towards demographic disaster. It will be a country of old men. When faced with depopulation, Manitoba, the prairie province, started importing foreigners it needed to revive the economy. The results more than met expectations. Unemployment started shrinking and remained below the national average even during the economic downturns. Defer, who has a degree from the Harvard School of Economics and a wealth of international experience, knows what he's talking about. He was a godfather of the initiative aimed at attracting immigration to Manitoba. Over a decade ago, he became a member of the Trilateral Commission. See? It actually exists. Okay? He became a member of the Trilateral Commission, and he has been in the World Economics Forum for many years and has been developing a furniture business for five decades. If you're concerned about depopulation, he says, you got to think about what to do. People are moving to the city, so maybe Vilnius would keep its population. But if people continue to emigrate, both Vilnius and Kaunas will begin to shrink. Social problems will surface. Nothing new is happening. Universities shrinking. The country that has lost almost a third of its population over 20 years is facing a disaster in another decade, too, for sure. Lithuania will no longer be interesting enough for people to live there. It will become a country of old people. The Economist, who has recently paid a visit, says he has spotted signs of the approaching crisis. For example, dropping enrollment at LCC International University, a school in Klaipeda he helped found, and by the way, that my daughter attended. According to Defer, migration policies will be of major importance to the future of new EU member states that can hardly compete with more economically and demographically attractive countries. Politicians are having a difficult time controlling birth and death rates, while with open borders and globalization, population movements are getting out of hand too. At most, the government can have some control over immigration and work towards making the country more attractive to its citizens so they don't leave it. So the article goes on to rehash all the problems. We know what the problems are. Depopulation. Now it goes back to Manitoba. Manitoba is suffering depopulation. Industries felt a shortage of skilled labor. And that's when they introduced the provincial nominee program to select suitable immigrants. Defure says the weather in Winnipeg, Canada is even worse than Lithuania. It's more like Siberia. However, the program introduced in 1998 boosted immigration to Manitoba by 500%. Almost all newcomers have successfully stayed on and learned English. A number of artistic and enterprising people settled in the province. The central government was surprised. No one expected that this and similar provinces could attract skilled labor, keep it, and not have to pay social negative consequences. Manitoba made a deal with the federal government that it would be able to choose independently which immigrants it would admit. It developed a system to assess skills and qualities. An applicant would be awarded points for a particular sort of education, for speaking English and French, for having relatives already in the province. The criteria helped select not only immigrants with required skills, but those more likely to integrate well into society. A corresponding national program was, remember, that's a national program corresponding, because Manitoba's running its own program in the state, okay? Corresponding national program was based on education criteria. However, many newcomers had degrees that were not recognized by local employers. So medical doctors, for example, would have to drive cabs to make a living while they went to night school to prove that they were skilled doctors. Manitoba's authorities, however, paid more attention to the actual skills, while the actual degree and language fluency were not the deciding factors. In evaluating these newcomers, a job offer was key. It meant a guaranteed source of income. Additional points would be assigned for successful professional experience, good family relations, community involvement in the old country, ethnic and religious groups already settled in Canada that they could be part of. All this pointed to a higher likelihood of successful integration. Since 85, Canada has experienced an immigration boom. Before the program, immigration to Manitoba was about 3,000 to 4,000 a year. Okay? Once they put in this special selective immigrant program, it went to 12,000. And unemployment stayed lower than the national average, even though they brought in thousands of extra people. He admits that the program sounds discriminatory, but immigrants are discriminated everywhere anyway. They're judged by their education, the amount of money they have, their driver's license. In Manitoba, the central criterion was one's ability to integrate. For example, Chinese newcomers preferred Canada's metropolitan cities and well-established Chinese communities, while Winnipeg accommodated more newcomers from the Philippines, even though both are East Asian nations. Before the program was implemented, Manitoba authorities surveyed whether the society would accommodate the newcomers. They were fearful. Manitoba turned out to be more welcoming than they thought, perhaps because people remember their immigrant ancestry. Anyway, Defira says Lithuania has no strategy, and it better hurry up and get one. And I agree with him, and I wish we had more time, but we don't. This is Kestutis Davidas for Independent Lithuanian Radio here on KTYM 1460. Come support Lithuanian Melodies, the Lithuanian broadcasts of following this program. Stay tuned for them, and come tomorrow to their lunch for $5. Can't beat it. Iki pasimatimo. Bye-bye.